Hello, everybody. Welcome to Comedy Film Nerds Podcast.
Episode 317.
317. Holy shit. Halfway to...
Go ahead, do it.
Nine... No, a third of the way to... Shit, I should have figured this out.
634.
Sick. Well, that's halfway to 634. It is halfway to 634, but it is a third of the way to...
1,000.
900.
Just shy.
And just shy of 1,000.
Yeah,
951.
Is that what... Yeah, it's 51. 951. Mm-hmm. You figured it out. Nice. Multiples of 17.
Yeah, I don't know that I figured it out, Graham. It's just math. Like, it's not even hard math.
Right, but
it's not even algebra. It's just arithmetic.
Right, but it's not like multiples or 17 or something that people are constantly throwing around. It's not like a 15.
I went to a charter school.
Oh, 17 multiple charter school.
We took our multiplication tables up to 17.
Yeah, and it was a base 17 math table, right?
Well, I'm out now. I'm out. Doesn't take long to lose me. That's why I don't do improv.
Yeah, because you just be like, yes, and I got to go.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a great way to end an improv skit. Yes, and I got to go.
I'm out. I don't care where we are.
There was a sketch show in Cincinnati for a long time called Underbelly. And one day, my brother and I did a sketch where we were Cincinnati's only over 40 improv troupe. And we would take suggestions from the crowd of whatever they yelled out. It was this bit my brother came up with, not even a comic, and somebody would yell out, like, the laundromat, and my brother would be like, bzz, well, my clothes are all dry, you want to go get some tacos? And that was the whole thing. Every place they yelled out, we were just leaving.
A spaceship, glad we landed safely.
Yeah. Ooh, that was tough. You guys
want to go to a hot tub?
Yeah, I feel like some tacos. You guys want to get tacos?
Well, we should introduce our guest.
No. Can't do that. We should introduce ourselves. I'm Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini.
And our guest is Jeff Tate.
Hey.
First time on the podcast.
Yes.
We've done shows together. We've done Doug Loves Movies together numerous times.
And we...
Do we do an interruption? Do we do a movie interruption together, I think?
Yeah, Breaking Away.
Oh, in Indianapolis. That
was a good one.
Bloomington.
Yeah. I had my... to this day, that's the only time I was ever good on that show. No, I don't know. I still remember I made a joke about a guy dropping a whole bunch of notebooks, and then everybody laughed, and I was like, oh, this is super fun.
Yeah.
But like the first five things I said, no one laughed, and I was like, this is the worst.
I actually remember that notebook joke. Yeah, it killed.
Yeah.
It killed.
That was one of the more fun movie interruptions because...
You saw a movie that was shot in the area.
In the area. Mm-hmm. And then when they... I almost came to tears. It was so adorable when they're singing the Indiana fight song and then everyone in the theater starts singing along.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, that was great.
They showed the front of the theater in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, we were in a building that very meta. Whoa.
Never happened to me before, I don't think. I've never been in a movie theater that was in a movie.
I don't think I have either.
I don't think that's ever happened.
Speed was the one I was in.
Oh.
When we were watching at the Chinese theater and then when the crash at the end in front of the Chinese theater.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah?
That's cool.
Yeah. Out of those subway tunnels that everyone knows about because everyone takes a subway so much in right. L.A. It's very,
especially
very common.
In the 90s.
It's so common.
Yeah, exactly.
It was definitely was so common in the 90s.
What do you think the street reaction was when that subway car came crashing out of the street? Do you think, I think like 50% of it was like, holy shit, there's some kind of major disaster. But I think the other half was, we got a subway?
There's a subway system in it?
How do we get it? When do we get a subway?
It's like, well, it can't go to the airport.
Well, not now.
Yeah. There's no way it goes to the airport. It only goes about four blocks. That's about
it. They've expanded it, guys. I love public transportation. And there's a light rail now that's going to go all the way to Santa Monica. It opens May 20th. Oh,
fantastic. But
from where?
It goes
from the airport?
Well,
from San Francisco?
Yes.
Las Vegas. Venice.
It just goes like four blocks.
Alaska. The moon.
When you say light rail, it's just one of them things that where people sit facing each other, but they all have pedals.
Yeah, like one of those booze bike things.
Yeah, booze bike thing. Everyone sings Garth Brooks, and you get all the way up to Santa Monica from way down in Venice, California.
It's 3/4 mile of nonstop cycling and boozing. Yeah, those things look awful. I've seen them in Santa Monica, and I go, and everyone looks like, I'm like, that looks horrible.
I don't understand
how
you
series? Like, how are they...
It's like a giant bicycle, so everyone, there's like 10 people,
right.
And you have to pedal, and then the gag is, we're drinking beer and pedaling, but it's like, that sounds, if I was going to just drink, I'd just want to drink, and if I want to ride my bike, I'm just going to go fucking on a bike ride. Neither one of those things should be together.
I don't understand how you can pedal the way you're facing and move the
other
way. That'd
drive me crazy. I'd like go and
how does that happen? Like, you're like moving like a Oompa Loompa.
I don't like it.
Side to side.
I want to outlaw these things.
Crab walk. I think that if your transportation choice does not have walls and a roof, it should not be able to play music. Like when a fucking motorcycle pulls up listening to death metal or whatever, it's like, dude, you don't even have, like, this is just on the street.
Yeah.
You're just making everyone listen to this. That's not good.
So it's like a boombox on wheels.
Yeah, it's awful. Yeah.
With a hillbilly.
Yeah.
So
hillbilly. We've got a lot of movies to talk about. All right, buddy, let's start. We're going to go through Jungle Book, Criminal, and you saw Demolition too?
Yeah, I saw part of Elvis and Nixon and part of Hologram for the King.
Really? Yeah.
You did a little movie hop.
I had a lot of time in Vegas. I was in Vegas for 6 days. I want to say this. Thanks to everybody who came out to the Improv at Harrah's in Las Vegas. That was fun. And I posted this a lot online. I found out Tuesday that Harrah's is no longer – they didn't renew the contract with the Improv.
Right.
So the Improv, which has been there for 21 years.
And we've played it for a fair amount of those 19.
I've played it since 97.
Yeah. I was there before Carl.
Yeah. I mean, so you
– sound guy. Yeah, I've been there many, many years.
And – It's closing May 29th. So it was a little weird. I was like,
where's Mark Curry going to do his club dates then?
I don't know. That's a good question. That's a great question. I don't know what's going to happen with that club. But I had a fun week.
Cool.
Probably my last one there.
It's so we got a lot to talk about too, and we're going to be hitting some DVDs with the Ride Along 2, Krampus, and we're going to go into the vault and talk about Tears of the Sun and SWAT.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
So
somebody went on Netflix this weekend.
We don't have – I mean, I watch a lot of movies this weekend.
Good, right. Good.
So we don't have to we can clear those up quick. SWAT is garbage.
Is that the LL Cool J one?
Well, I don't know that it's – like people rarely refer to it.
Has there been more than one SWAT movie?
No, I think there was a sequel, but – who knows?
More than one.
This one has LL Cool J's in it. It's Colin Farrell and Jeremy Renner and Michelle Rodriguez. Yeah, it is.
Because there was a TV show, then there was one movie, then I thought there was maybe there's not a second movie. I'm not sure.
There shouldn't be a second movie.
There should have been a first movie.
Yeah, they should disallow.
I like stuff like that too, and it still didn't work.
So, all right, well, I want to start with The Jungle Book, because this is like a giant movie. It's making a fortune right now, and I am so happy to say I was wrong about this movie.
You liked it.
I did. I enjoyed it. I was against it. I was like, this trailer looks awful. It looks like just a copy of the animated movie. There's no reason for this to exist, and it's always a wonderful, pleasant surprise when I'm wrong about a trailer and the movie is actually good. So Jon Favreau did an amazing job with this film. It kind of raises the bar for CG animation in a movie. The animals look amazing, but here's the thing it's raising questions too about, is this an animated film? Because it was shot on a soundstage in downtown Los Angeles. They went to zero jungles to shoot this movie. So everything was chroma keyed. Like they said, they didn't use green screen because of, all the greenery. They went back to blue, which was an interesting thing. Yeah. So everything was kind of blue screened and, it was really, really good. There's one live action actor in the entire film.
That's
the boy, Mowgli. And everything else is.
I understand Neil Setti. He beat out 2,000 actors.
Get
this. And is his first ever acting.
Acting role. And
good for you.
Yeah. Nice work.
Vegas Improv is closing. But good for you.
I didn't even mean to. I was just walking by. They said, hey, you look like Mowgli. And now I'm an actor.
All right. I guess now I'm a movie star.
So this movie, it's interesting that Jon Favreau did a really nice job with it, put it together. It's seamless. It really is. It looks like you're in the jungle, but nope. It's a soundstage. Now, there was some controversy where it was like, well, is it all green screen? Did you build any sets? And they're like, no, they built some sets, like some partial sets, some more elaborate sets. And everyone, all the adults do a really good job. Like Christopher Walken is great. Bill Murray is great. I'll tell you, for beating 2,000 actors, Neil Sethi was a little flat. Like, I'm thinking, is this the kid that
really
beat everybody out? Yeah, he was a little flat. Like, when you look at, like, kids like Haley Joel Osment, like, when they first came on the, you know, you see them on the big screen, right, for the first time, how amazing they are. This kid was definitely a little flat. Now, he had a really tough job.
Well,
he was literally not acting against any other actor.
That wouldn't be, yeah. I mean, that's tough for an adult actor. Right. Can you imagine just run around this blue room and pretend that a lion's chasing you?
Yeah, pretend there's a tiger. So
there's a bear that talks at you.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
And he sounds like the guy from Groundhog Day.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Haley Joel Osment only had to act in front of that ghost.
Right, but he was on set.
Right, was he?
Yeah,
he was dead the whole time.
He was, but yeah, they actually used the actor.
I feel like they could have done it cheaper if he was dead the whole time.
They could have just put an actual ghost in there.
And, yeah, just make it look like a ghost. Why they had to, like, I'm the guy that doesn't understand it was supposed to be a twist.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. Well, let me ask you this, because I know, like, so we talked about this, I think, last week.
Yes.
Because there's all these big name actors, like it was Gary Shandling's last film.
Yes.
What did that work or not work?
You know what? It was really interesting because I thought it wouldn't, because they're such big names and such recognizable voices. Sometimes that, when you do animation, it's a detriment because it distracts you from what you're trying to see. Like, you just go, oh, well, that's Gary Shandling, or that's Christopher Walken, that's Bill Murray. But this is one of those times that John Favreau, he just made it work. Like, you know, you felt like, no, that's the bear, that's the tiger, that's Idris Elba does an amazing job with Shere Khan. So it was something with the level of technology and with just the direction of the actors that just meshed really well. So I was really happy to see, you know, the way this film kind of came together. It's definitely different from the animated film. They changed the ending, which I wasn't in love with, which is interesting. And this is a slight, mild spoiler. I mean, we all have seen the
Can
movie.
I guess?
Yes.
Mowgli and Baloo meet at the top of the Empire State Building on New Year's Eve, right?
Yeah, it's very close. Very
in the original, it was Christmas. Yeah, I didn't like to change.
So, small spoiler if you don't want it spoiled, but it's pretty obvious. Like, and I really felt like this was kind of like, well, we got to make it different for a new audience and change it. And you don't really. It's a classic story.
Having the way that the technology made it different.
And that's fine. Like, you don't need to, like, I felt like, well, we got to change the ending. I felt like there was, like, because it felt forced. It was like, well, no, everything worked out and he stayed in the jungle.
All right.
So this is, I'm like, yeah, but now you lose all of the allegory of basically Child to Zen when he goes back to, you know, the quote man village.
Right.
And there was a lot of emotion then that you just kind of lost,
right,
with the bittersweet ending of, like, this part of your life is over. You know, this is the family you're leaving and moving on into adulthood. So you lost a fair amount of that. Wow. So now, you know, the only recourse for Mowgli now is to become Tarzan. So that's it. Maybe he's staying in the jungle. Okay. That's it.
Franchise,
yeah. Maybe Mowgli fights Tarzan in something. I'm not sure. But this is Christopher Walken's first Disney film since The Country Bears in 2002.
Nice.
But it was...
That guy makes good choices.
Yes. It was good. And now the other thing I found too, like, there was very little music in it, but they put, like, the two classic ones in. Like, I Want to Be Like You, the... Christopher Walken did it. They added some new lyrics, and also Bill Murray did Bare Necessities.
Right.
So they did. It wasn't wall to wall. It was a couple in there, but it was so photorealistic, and it was so much of a darker tone and more of a narrative driven. You could have dropped out all the music, and it wouldn't have made a difference.
Oh, wow.
It would have been fine. I would have liked to have seen more of the snake, Ka, Scarlett Johansson. It was just one scene, but. Everything looked really good. I was really happy to see, because this easily could have been a fail, you know, in the wrong hands. This could have just been like, an Alice in Wonderland, where it's all CG, everything's thrown at you, and it looks pretty, but ultimately it's a mess. But no, Jon Favreau really knew how to pull this together, and it's a really solid film.
All right. Mm-hmm. So now,
will it be nominated though for, you know, best animated or not? Because you only have one live action actor in it.
Is that's an interesting.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's interesting. That's an interesting discussion that I'm sure we'll talk more about. Is just how technology is kind of changing some of these categories.
Yes, yeah, because
you know, like,
because it doesn't look like a cartoon. It's photorealistic, but yeah, you have talking bears and,
right,
and wolves in it, and only one live-action mm-hmm. actor.
All right, well, let's talk about now, Jeff, you saw Criminal.
Yeah, I cannot wait to hear about this.
I'm excited. I almost saw this.
I wish I had taken... I am not going to be able to do as good a job with this movie as you did with Jungle Book. I figured I'd come in and be like, I saw Criminal. It was pretty dope.
And then that's it. That's
a 14-minute episode.
No, I figured you'd be like, what? You're dumb. And I'd be like, I know. And then we'd...
It's not Doug Loves Movies, Jeff. Yeah. It's all right. You can just have a nice, friendly conversation. There's no contest. There's no... No one's going to hashtag team anything. DLM listeners probably don't listen to this. They're just too busy being dicks.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's the internet, man. They're just a bunch of ghosts.
Right.
So do you think Kevin Costner did a good job in this movie? Was it ridiculous? Was it fun? Why did you enjoy it?
I feel like it could be all of those things. Kevin Costner was a little like, he growled.
Was he doing Liam Neeson? Was it like his Taken? Everyone wants a Taken now. Every aging actor wants a Taken.
I need a Taken.
Yeah.
I guess it could be. I mean, it does feel like... What's the name of the guy that directed Taken? The Fifth Element guy?
Yeah, well,
Luc Besson. Luc Besson. It feels like one of those movies, but it isn't.
Actually, the first Taken was directed by Pierre Morel. And he did...
They're going to take you.
But he did. He was the guy that did The Transporter and Transporter 2. But he also did... he worked on... Well, wow.
Well, it felt like a Luc Besson movie. It felt French.
Yeah.
Right. Like a French action movie.
Fair enough.
But better? I don't know. Like, not
what
like
was
it was
the basic story.
The story is Ryan Reynolds is a
real
CIA
quick. So,
agent.
So Taken 2 was written by Luc Besson. It was directed by Oliver Mangan. But I know what you mean. It had that Luc Besson feel. But go ahead. Mm.
Ryan Reynolds plays a CIA agent who has stashed a computer guy called the Dutchman, like a hacker.
The Dutchman.
You gotta have a code name if you're a hacker.
Yeah, and he's some Dutch guy, and his hacker name is the Dutchman. Like, he put no thought into it.
Right.
Yeah.
Not even Flying Dutchman.
It was just like, what should I call myself? And they're like, I don't know, you're Dutch, right? Oh, yeah, there you go.
Dutchman.
And so he stashes guy because...
It should be like, you're right, he should be like... From Ecuador, but he does everything in a wooden house or something. Or
yeah, he wears wood shoes.
He wears wood shoes.
He just walks around.
Or he created some program called the Wooden Shoe, and that was how he got into the CIA. Or
backdoor windmill.
No.
Yeah,
no, this guy worked for... the Dutchman worked for a Spanish anarchist.
I'm already sold.
Go ahead. I'm in. Of course.
Who advocates the overthrow of all governments.
Great.
And the Dutchman has something called... wormhole, which gives him control over every United States defense weapons system, of course. And so he's trying to sell it back. Like, he breaks from the Spanish anarchists and is trying to sell it back to America, but not like in a weird, like, somewhat altruistic, where it's just like he just wants out. Like, he didn't realize that this was going to be so bad, and he's just like, I need some money and passports just so I don't get killed.
Or the Americans could patch the server, but go ahead.
Right. Okay.
that's the sequel.
Yeah.
Well, he had locked him out.
Right.
There's a lot of computer stuff you. I kind of glazed
over.
Yeah,
I bought it. I'm like, all right, well, that makes sense. All right, now they couldn't.
Might be the secret for why I like things that you don't like. Where when it gets real technical and when they try to explain it and whether they do a good job or not, I have no idea because I glaze over and I wait for them to be done. And I just sit in my seat thinking, it's a movie. No, we're not going to do this. Why are you telling us how to do this? Just say that guy did it. I don't give a shit how he did it. And then they do all of that. And then it's like, well, why'd you stop? Show me, why don't you go back and show me how he learned computers? Why don't you show, where'd he go to school? I want to see his degrees.
I want to see him in coding class.
Yeah, so I'm supposed to believe he knows all this stuff, but I don't know how he learned it. How come when you make the movie, you can project onto the audience that they'll just understand that he learned it, but not understand that he just did it. Like, why do I have to see him do it?
Right.
It's all fucking boring. And that's usually where movies fall apart, is right. when they try to be like, but no, this is how it could really happen. And it's a movie. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Just get to it, man. Do that stuff from the trailer I saw. And so Ryan Reynolds stashed him and was taking him the money and the passports and whatever, but then he got killed at the beginning.
So Ryan Reynolds is the Dutchman's handler, you're telling me?
Yeah, yeah, right at
and
the
he
beginning.
Failed.
Oh.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you see, he went out like a hero.
Mm-hmm.
Attaboy.
But there's a doctor, Tommy Lee Jones, plays a doctor who is doing several years away from human trials, but he has managed to implant memories from a dead mammal into a live mammal's brain by mapping the neural transmitters, and then
how would you know if you're successful?
Well, no, I've heard about this actually. This is called the Freaky Friday studies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He did it with rats, and apparently rats could walk straight through a maze in one turn that they've never seen before when he would move the memories from a rat that had been trained on it.
Mm.
Or whatever. I don't know. This is another thing where they were like, no, this is how it could happen. And I'm just like, this is
great.
Doesn't happen.
So just put Ryan Reynolds inside of Kevin Costner and let's get to business.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I saw this already. Have him piss in the same fountain. Wasn't that movie with Jason Bateman? Like, who cares, man?
Have him piss in the same fountain.
Like, just do it. Get to it. And then he moves the memories, and he can only move the memories into a human's brain that is not, like, where the frontal lobe is not fully something brain stuff. And Kevin Costner is like a real psychopath, criminal. That's where he gets the name. He's a criminal, but he has no empathy or whatever. Sure. And he had a head injury when he was a child, so he has an undeveloped frontal lobe, which I guess controls the impulse control and stuff. Which that actually, like, that part was true, I guess. Like, if it's something you can Google, they probably got it right. So they move Ryan Reynolds' memories into Kevin Costner's brain.
Oh, crazy.
But, you know, of course, it like only kind of works, and it's making Kevin Costner feel real crazy because he's got two memories. But he has no feelings. He doesn't feel love or hate, or he has no – he can't calculate the consequences of his actions in any way. Whatever. He's like a real – dangerous person. But now he's got Ryan Reynolds' memories in his brain, so he starts to feel things or whatever. It's still pretty cool.
That's cool.
And Gary Oldman plays Ryan Reynolds' boss.
Well, that's the thing. This
got a lot of people.
The cast is pretty solid. It's Gary Oldman. It's Tommy Lee Jones. You know, I mean, who else is in it? Like, even
Wonder Woman. Gal Gadot.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's in it. She's great.
So it's one of these movies you go in, you kind of throw the suspension, you're just like, whatever, sure, disbelief, I don't need facts, don't care, but it's decent action and decent.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was still fun. Like, it's got that mild science fiction twist of the memories, but and then there's like maybe the memories will stay and maybe they won't, and
okay,
so. they don't know if it's gonna actually work, but it's very. I liked it. I thought it was super cool. I mean, I left for some of that talking.
So
you know how when you're in a movie and then you get like a few texts or whatever, and you're like, ah, I'll get those after. But then when they start doing all the, like, when they're trying to explain how this could really happen, I was like, I'll go respond. Get out of here for a minute. But I really liked it. It was good action.
Well, that was the thing. When I saw the trailer, I figured it. Unless it's just god awful, when you see a trailer like that, you go, okay.
You know what you're getting.
Yeah, whatever. They sort of flim flam science and just kind of, but right. just to let Kevin Costner run around and fuck people up.
Yeah.
And that was pretty cool. Like, right. I kind of like seeing.
Well, it really is the Taken model.
Right.
It's.
Yeah, but Kevin Costner, I'm not tired of Kevin Costner yet.
Right.
Like, there was that movie, Walk Amongst the Tombstones.
Right.
With Liam Neeson, and that movie was good.
Mm-hmm.
It was based on a book that was good.
Right.
It's a good movie, but no one saw it, because it just looked like another fucking Taken movie.
Well, that's the problem. I mean,
and like, it wasn't. It was a drama.
Well, that was the thing. When Taken came out in 2008, it was like a total departure from what he'd been doing. And right. It was like, what? It was this who? And it was just like, this is awesome. So then he's done...
8 of them.
Like 50. Yeah. Like he's done so many. He's a Taken against the wolves and Taken right. against yeah. the, you know, like...
Taken on the airplane. Taken.
exactly.
That movie, Unknown.
Right.
Which, as a goof, from the poster, I tried to guess what the movie was about, mm-hmm. and I was right. like, and then I saw it, and I was real kind of bummed out that I was like, oh, man, I kind of already knew this.
So that's the thing, and if Kevin Costner's, he's been releasing kind of these movies, he plays a bad guy or CIA, they just haven't done, they really didn't kind of blow up the way Taken did.
Yeah.
But this movie, I don't know. I was one of these movies. I go, all right, this will be on a plane on an international flight, and I'm going to watch this, and I'll be.
Isn't that great?
The way two hours.
The way the movie producers they keep chasing that trend. They're like, we got to hit that Taken gold again. Keep making the same thing over and over until we hit it again. The whole point is, well, you hit it because you didn't hit it again. It was new. Right. It was different.
Yeah. But maybe, I mean, can I spoil it?
Taken, sure.
No, Criminal?
Nah, don't spoil the ending.
All right.
But they left something open, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Right.
Like, maybe there can be a whole bunch of these movies, which would be super rad. Right.
Maybe there's a mashup. Maybe Taken and Criminal, you know, have to solve some crimes together.
Maybe Jeremy Renner will take over the franchise. Maybe.
Oh, boy. He did such a good job, they all came back to make a new one. These guys who vowed to never make another Bourne movie saw Legacy and were like, yeah. We should probably do this again. Like, yeah. We don't want that to be what they remember. I didn't even hate Legacy.
It was okay, but stacked up to the other Bourne movies, that they're all. I really like the Bourne series, yeah. And that one was just like. And I like Jeremy Renner, but it was like.
I don't even know if I like Jeremy Renner. Like I thought so, but now I don't know. Like, what? Because like he's one of those guys that like when you're watching the movie, you're like, this is cool. This is a good movie. But then when I think about him, it's like, eh, he doesn't ever have to be in anything. I don't give a fuck about that.
So he gives
guy.
You a bad aftertaste.
Yeah, I'd rather, like, Bourne Legacy, like, I feel like his head is shaped weird to be a Bourne guy. Does that make sense? Like, Matt Damon's head is got, like, kind of ovalish, but, like, long ways. And Jeremy Renner's kind of got Stewy face a little bit.
Doesn't have a good Bourne face.
Nah, it's a little wider.
Yeah, he needs a good oval.
But my friend was in Bourne Legacy, so...
kind of face did he have?
She played Blue Lab Doctor.
Oh.
And, man, I can't tell you how disappointed we all are that Blue Lab Doctor didn't get back in this new Bourne movie.
She really but they didn't spin together. Off a Blue Lab Doctor series?
Yeah, why can't Blue Lab Doctor be in this?
Yeah.
You're going to need another Blue Lab
we
Doctor.
We need a side story.
I always get...
Blue Lab Doctor goes to the mall. What if those are like wacky comedies in the Bourne universe? It's all Blue Lab Doctor.
No, this is a good idea. Hold on. Can I see your pen, please? I'm just going to write something. Hey, how does your pen work?
Yeah, just turn it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't write.
That's okay. It's all right.
I'm a comedian, but I do what I'm more of a stream of consciousness. Yeah. I write on stage, guys.
That's a code name for guys that don't write jokes.
Yep.
All right. Well, I saw Demolition. All right. So
yeah, how was that? The poster makes it look like Nightcrawler.
Well, he but does look right.
It's Jake Gyllenhaal with sunglasses.
He looks crazy. So this movie, I was very much like, I don't know, because the trailer, here's the setup. So his wife dies, and then he just kind of loses his shit dealing with and kind of figuring out who he is and mm-hmm. and his relationship with his wife. And I was like, I don't know. It ends up being kind of entertaining, man. It's he does a good job as a guy that's losing his shit. Chris Cooper plays his father-in-law, and Chris Cooper I really like.
Now, is this a drama, or is this like, was she killed? Is this like a revenge story, or is it?
No, it's a pure drama. It's not. It's she dies in a car accident, so it's not like he's got to find a bag of money or whatever. Right. It's like, what would any regular guy do if his wife died suddenly, and how would he deal with it? And he kind of loses his shit, and then he meets Naomi Watts. This vending machine doesn't work in the hospital ER, like. 10 minutes after he finds out the news of losing his wife. And he's like, And then he decides to write a letter, and that's like sort of how he vents. And he writes these long letters explaining, like, you know, I don't know if our marriage was working. And, you know, like, he goes into, he like pours his heart out into this customer service email that Naomi Watts eventually responds to. And they have kind of this weird relationship. And there's times when I was like, oh, this is bullshit. This wouldn't really happen. And then I thought, well, I started to believe it because I like, he's broken.
Right.
And when you're completely broken, you get into weird relationships with other broken people.
And you make weird decisions.
You make weird decisions. And it, I was like
trying to have a snack 10 minutes after your wife dies.
Yeah. Like, like, exactly. That's insane. But like...
I feel like I probably wouldn't eat for a little while. Like, it probably wouldn't occur to me.
Yeah, who knows? But that's the thing, like...
Maybe that, you're a stress eater.
But that... Yeah, exactly. But that's the thing.
I'm totally a stress eater.
So you might have just punched a hole through the vending machine and just cleared it out and sat there. Like, I've done some crazy shit. I've never had something that severe happen to me, but I've had some tough stuff, and I've just done some crazy shit where I just was like... And then you kind of go, what?
Did you write any letters?
Yeah, I wrote crazy blogs, and I wrote journal shit that was crazy. There you go. And so to me, then it sort of makes sense. And Chris Cooper is the dad who lost his daughter, and he kind of never really liked his son-in-law. And they have some good scenes together. I don't know. It was like entertaining. Is it like a movie, rush out, go see it in the theater? I don't know. I mean, if you got nothing to do and it's playing and you want to go to a movie, I'd see it. But I think it's something when it comes out on DVD or VOD, it's something you'd watch at home and go, that wasn't bad. And Jake Gyllenhaal, some decent scenes. And so Naomi Watts is good. And
it was acted well.
Yeah, it's acted well. I mean, it's...
He's a good actor.
Yeah, he's...
I don't know that I want to... This doesn't seem like my kind of movie, but I'm more of a Dear God fella. Like, it sounds a lot like Dear God.
Dear God.
That Greg Kinnear movie.
Yeah.
Or maybe a Tuesdays with Maury, something like that.
I don't know what we're talking about. Today's Tuesday.
Yeah.
That's what I take away from this. Do you guys always tape on Tuesday? Is that the name of the show?
Yeah.
I thought it was like called something else.
Tuesday
but.
Taped.
Is that why you like Maury? is this movie like amazing? It's a decent film, and it's an interesting sort of character piece of watching a guy lose his shit and how he gets out of it. Like, how's he gonna deal with this? And I like how they handled it.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we have a sponsor this week.
Oh shit.
Yes, Pro Flowers. Mother's Day's coming up, Graham. And the mothers have to be taken care of. And what better way than with 100 blooms with a free glass vase for $19.99 plus shipping and handling.
I have gotten my mom this a lot. I've used this for my mom. I've used this for other relatives. This is...
Examples, please.
I sent one to Greg Kinnear.
Yeah.
Did you address it to God, though?
Yeah, I said, dear God. Okay. Of course I did. Yeah. God needs flowers. Guy's working hard, or she, or whatever. But no, this stuff is, honestly, this and Cherry's Berries, they're owned by the same company, so I don't think he'll get mad. But these are my two favorite.
They're the go-tos.
They're great go-tos, because here's why they're great. Oh, shit, I forgot to, go to the website, bing, bang, send it out. And who doesn't love getting flowers?
Yeah.
Like, I like it. Send me some flowers.
And it's reasonably priced, too. The other thing that I like is you can upgrade. You can do a premium vase and gourmet chocolates for just $9.99 more. But you got to use our coupon code CFN.
And you get a vase. You get a vase out of the deal.
How many vases do you think we have now?
I have about four.
Yeah, I have at least four.
Every time when they send us flowers, which is awesome, but I was like, there's a new vase.
Yep. So we're,
merch.
Yeah, we're going to be selling.
I'm
going to
put a Palm Strike logo on that vase, and I'm going to move some units, kids.
So all you got to do is go to the blue microphone in the top corner at proflowers.com, type in CFN. That's proflowers.com. Click on the microphone and type in CFN. Remember, Mother's Day is next week.
100 flowers and a vase for $20 plus shipping and handling. That's
pretty
a great
sweet.
Deal.
Yeah,
add another for another $9.99. You get flowers instead or
chocolates.
Come on,
and a premium vase.
Premium vase.
That's a good. That's Mother's Day is next week. I forgot.
Yes.
Pro Flowers CFN. I'm in.
See, it's the best for when you forget shit.
Because they have an app too, by the way.
Oh, really?
Nice. Yeah.
Oh, it's even easier then.
Look at you, Jeffy Tate, for getting a lot of holidays. Nice app. Look at that.
It's a.
That's not even on the ad copy.
Wow.
That there's an app.
Thanks, Jeff.
No, there is. My mom also has a birthday.
wow. Stop name dropping.
I try to recognize all the holidays that involve my mom, birthday, Christmas, or Hanukkah, I suppose, if you're one of those.
If you're one of those. Nice. If you're one of them.
As well as Mother's Day. So.
Flag Day, you could get some
prayer flags. I will say, are we done with the ad?
Yeah,
we're done.
There should be a button or something where you can go to proflowers.com and click, like, we broke up.
Oh. Right?
I don't need to keep getting emails at the beginning of February telling me that Lauren's birthday is coming up.
Oh, you're
mad. It's been 6 years, ProFlowers. How come I'm okay with it and you're still not?
There has to be a update relationship preference somewhere in the account.
I'm actually there. I'm sure there is.
Or what you do is you send her like just one black rose every year on the anniversary. Just like, we're done. Remember, it's over.
Yeah. They either need to let me tell them that we broke up or put a dozen dead roses as an option.
All right.
So, did you get any that were sent to the wrong address that maybe were mailed back and now you can't do anything with them and you're wondering what to do with them? I have an address.
There you go.
That you can send them all to.
Send dead flowers to the exes. That's awesome.
Yeah, we can do deadflowers.com. We can get our own app.
All right.
Things not working out with your agent.
Unhappy with your lawn care guy.
Well, if you're that unhappy with your lawn care guy, I bet you have dead flowers in your own yard.
It comes in an urn.
Yeah. Come on now. Nice.
All right.
With their name on it.
Yeah.
And the next year as the final year. Their birth year and then the next year.
Nice.
Be like, yeah, you fucking watch your back.
Well, that sounds like a mob hit.
Yeah,
that sounds.
Deadflowers.mob.com.
slash.
Deadflowers.com/mob.
Giving someone the black spot.
use our coupon code. Two in the chest, one in the head for 20%.
So trailers. We've got two new big trailers that dropped. Magnificent Seven, directed by Anton Fuqua.
That's the biggest red flag I have.
Why? I want to know everything about your Anton Fuqua beef.
It's my thing is...
Ooh, it's going to take a while.
It's going to... I've never seen him direct a full movie. I've seen him do a first act or half of a movie... But then the things always fall apart. And it's so frustrating because I think if he could put together a full film, it would be awesome. And I think he'd be a great director. But then things always fall apart with his
movies. Or he has to rename them, like The Equalizer. If he would have renamed it How to Kill People at a Home Depot, then all right, I would make more sense.
I will say this. The Equalizer, I actually did watch that on cable.
First half, good setup.
Right.
Not bad.
Not bad. Mm-hmm. The second half is fine. The second half, he's sort of taking the TV series and saying, all right, here you go. It's almost like he did a pilot episode of a series.
Yeah.
And it was fine. And I was like, okay.
How ridiculous was it that he killed 200 people at a Home Depot? And there's a gang of 200 people. And it was like
it was
the first
only like 100, eight or nine. Second, In fairness.
In fairness. And it was,
there was Zangief from Street Fighter 2. He killed that guy.
Nice.
Fist fought him to death.
So, I don't know, like, Magnificent Seven, I see a remake, like, okay, but then, I don't know.
I do love Denzel Washington, and I'm on the fence about this movie because the thing about it is that Anton Fuqua has... that might help him is there is actually a specific movie to reference with a beginning, middle, and end.
Right.
Like he can actually take this blueprint and actually make an entire film and put his style on it. Mm-hmm. So, or will it be just, as usual, a good setup, all style, then falls apart at, mid to the end.
Well, it's funny.
So where does Training Day fall apart?
Training in the second half. Here's my problem with Training Day is I love the setup. And it's such a great dilemma of do the means justify the end? Like Denzel Washington's character of, you know, this is how I fight. Okay, rookie, you think it's all...
Yeah.
You know, and he, and then the second half of the movie, Denzel is just, oh, he's just flat out evil and bad. And I was just like, ah, he's just killing people. And that's...
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, I wish it would have been...
Like The Shield.
Right.
The Shield was an excellent... But it turns out maybe it takes more than 2 hours to properly do a story like that.
Right. But I think you could have done that correctly where you just have... You see sort of Denzel on his day-to-day street thing, and then they get a case, and you see how he handles it, and then maybe like maybe he does put the guy away, but did it, like okay, I was living in L.A. It was about 15 years ago when there was that special unit, that the gang unit in L.A.
The Rampart?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, here's the thing about that, which was interesting. Crime in those neighborhoods was way down when they were just out whacking guys and killing guys and putting their death cards on them. And so when they went away, there were certain people in some of those neighborhoods who were like, oh no. And I was scared. And that's an interesting discussion and debate, I think, of, okay, they totally went outside the law. They were just rogue cops gunning guys down, but look who they're gunning down, evil guys. And let's have that movie, you know, show the day-to-day workings of that. And do we as a society, do the means justify the ends? I love that discussion and that debate because it is like it is a quandary. And even if at the end of the movie you're like, fuck, I don't know, you know.
Well, you know what movie really did a good job dealing with that is Jack Reacher.
But Jack Reacher brings up an excellent point. The thing I did like about Jack Reacher is he, you know, there's that him and the cop is like doesn't quite get along with him or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you think you're better than me or whatever. And there's that one scene in Jack Reacher where he says to the cop, he goes, "You and I got the same job. The difference is the difference between my job and your job. Every single one of the people I'm bringing in is a trained killer."
Yeah. Every suspect.
Every suspect.
Every single suspect is a trained killer.
And the cop kind of stops and looks at him and goes, "Oh, damn." Yeah. You know, and he also says something great in Jack Reacher. He goes, "There's four types of people that join the military: patriot,
yeah,
doing it for my country; family business, grandfather, dad, we're all in the army; nowhere else to go, my only option; and I want a license to kill."
Yeah,
you know,
I knew a guy that wanted that.
Yes, yes, I've talked to guys who were like, "Oh, the worst thing about being coming home from Iraq is, you know, they don't get to kill anybody anymore."
Yeah, wasn't that what that movie American Sniper was about?
Yeah. It was a part, I mean, so...
Or that was the part, that was the end that they didn't get to?
Right. Well, that was the dilemma. I mean, then, whatever, people talked about the book. But this is my point, though, going back to Training Day and why I worry about Antoine Fuqua is that's what I wish Training Day would have become, as opposed to just, oh, Denzel Washington is 100% evil and corrupt, and yeah, Rookie's got to stop him.
Antoine Fuqua is a great cinematographer.
Right, he is.
When you look at it, like the way he composes and sets up a shot, the way it goes together, just the look and feel of each shot is really amazing. It's just narratively, he can't put a story together. So it's one of those weird things where like now, but if he has this story in front of him, maybe this movie will...
Well, what about Shooter? Like, I really like Shooter. And I think that went okay.
I mean, but Shooter.
That was based on a book, though.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so maybe he...
If there's a template.
There's an existing narrative.
There you go. Yeah. That's the thing. Right. Shooter is decent. But then...
I've seen Shooter enough times that I almost have to consider it one of my top 50 favorite movies.
All right.
Like,
fair enough.
I just... When I see it on Netflix or whatever, I'll push play and then just be like, right, I guess this is it. I guess I'm in on this. And I've read a bunch of those books. When I found out it was a book, I read a bunch of those books.
So The Magnificent Seven, getting back to that, it really looks like it's old school filmmaking. It's remake, big budget, lots of stars, classic story. This is
based on the Seven Samurai.
Yes, of course.
And you got a great cast.
Yeah.
You have a fantastic cast.
Big stars.
Chris Pratt, Vincent D'Onofrio, Denzel Washington.
Ethan Hawke.
Yeah. Come on. Skarsgård.
So it's
who's is that the Asian fella? Is he the guy from The Good, the Bad and the Weird or Snowpiercer, which I can't remember which one
he is.
I saw The Devil.
He's from I Saw the Devil. He's from Terminator Genesis, G.I. Joe Rise of the Cobra.
Oh, yeah, that dude's pretty cool.
He's a good
actor. Like, as far as charisma and and watching him on screen, he's very.
You know, cool. I'm cautiously optimistic about this one. Okay. Like, I want to see it.
I'm wildly optimistic.
But I'm not going to expect too much.
Now, I think this is going to be in my top five favorite movies of all time.
All right.
Wow. Fair enough. Swinging for the fences, Jeff.
I think two of my top five favorite movies are coming out in the next 5 months.
Really? So yeah. X-Men Apocalypse, the next trailer? I love how this is a final version. Like, they always, like, now big budget tentpole movies now have to have multiple versions of the trailer, and each one releases a little bit more information. Right. And now, you know, Marvel did the last Civil War trailers, like when they showcase, oh, you got to see Spider-Man's in it. So, and then this one, sure enough, in the trailer at the end, you see Wolverine's claws come out. So, like, well, we had some help, you know, snicked. You know, you see the claws come out. So, and this movie, whenever a trailer shows nonstop destruction of cities and mountains and everything else, it makes me a little worried, because then, like, well, is that all there is to this entire film? Do you have to show me every explosion in the trailer? So, I don't know. I'm not sure about this movie. It might be like... It feels like it's too much apocalypse overdose. Like,
not enough X-Men,
too much apocalypse. Like, it really feels like it's, like we were talking about earlier, like San Andreas or one of those just big disaster movies where everything's blowing up and then it just happens to have X-Men in it.
Yeah, it's too, but I'm not that interested in the X-Men.
So you have any of the X-Men movies ever, did you like?
I saw the first two of these.
Right.
Of whatever those are called, Future Past and First Class.
Yeah.
I enjoyed them, but right. I don't care about the X-Men at all. Mm. I kind of think they're boring, and I also don't understand why they fight each other, and also why they don't just, like, why is the government, like, we got to round them up, or whatever, it's like... Are we doing this allegory again? I learned that word earlier in this episode. We're doing the whole internment camp.
Yeah.
Right.
And they're all Marvel properties, too, but Fox just happens to have the rights to X-Men as opposed to Avengers and Spider-Man.
I think that's an interesting point.
Yeah, it sounds like a fake... The trailer I saw looked like a fake Avengers movie.
Right.
They heard about what Civil War was going to be about. And we're like, well, let's do that. And then they brought in.
We're not giving back these rights to any of these characters. We're keeping them.
Yeah, they had that weird, like, Thanos character.
Right.
Or whatever. It's just like, no, we have that stuff too. Space.
Right.
Yeah, shut up.
I think that's a good point, because that is the case with a lot of comic book movies. If you were never that into the characters going into it, then it might make you go, And I got to say, I like some of the X-Men movies a lot, and then some of them I'm just like, ugh, man. So that's every time I see a new X-Men trailer, I'm always like,
they're hit or miss.
They're real hit or miss. Yeah. Like, where's this one gonna land? Right. Like, is this? I don't know. Like,
so what are there, six of them now? This is the sixth X-Men movie.
I believe so. Yeah.
You know, technically, you know, Deadpool is an X-Men movie, and then also the first, you know, the two Wolverine movies.
The two Wolverine movies.
I mean, the first Wolverine movie was called X-Men Origins.
Right. Oh yeah, that second Wolverine movie was good. I liked that.
Much better than the first one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The first one I didn't understand, and so that guy at the end of the first one was Deadpool, the Ryan Reynolds with his mouth sewn up.
Yeah. Sort of. Yeah,
weird.
It was a version.
That movie had some problems.
Yeah.
All right. I'm cautiously optimistic. It's hard for me to get excited about anything else because Civil War looks so great.
It does. Yeah.
Civil War to me looks. I'm so fired up for that. So then anything else that is an Avengers Civil War just makes me.
What's weird about that is I don't like Captain America is a little too Superman for me as a character. But the Captain America movies, I really like those movies.
Right.
Like Winter Soldier
was fantastic.
But even like the first two Captain America movies might be my favorite two Avengers movies.
Interesting.
Like it's way up there. Like, first of all, Tommy Lee Jones is in the first one.
Yes.
And that's always better than not having Tommy Lee Jones in your movie. I don't understand.
It makes every movie better.
It does.
Yeah.
Well, this is, I think that's
even when he's in a bad movie, you don't
like The Family.
You don't blame him. You just go, oh, poor Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah, like, they gave him a bad script.
Yeah, yeah.
Why are they? Yeah, where it's like, why is he got to play the old guy right now? He looks the same as he did in 93.
Right?
In 83.
Why don't you let him be? Oh, yeah, yeah. Black Moon Rising. Like, he looks the same in the same. Criminal as he does in that movie.
And probably Men in Black, too.
Yeah, Rolling Thunder. He still looked old in Rolling Thunder, and that was like 77.
So
William Devane looked young in Rolling Thunder.
Right.
And Tommy Lee Jones looks exactly the same.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. So now we did, we already talked about SWAT. Real quick, Jeff, let's, Tears of the Sun, you just saw.
No, we're just talking, that's a Fuqua movie. You just saw that on Netflix.
See, I didn't know, I don't know about that movie. It was okay. It was pretty fun. It wasn't as fun as I thought it was going to be. There was a whole lot of...
As soon as you said it was pretty fun, I was thinking, well, this is an Empire of the Sun. Like, I had the Steve Spielberg one in my head for a second. This is the Bruce
Willis, like, Navy SEAL...
Yeah.
Tears of the Sun.
Stopping an African genocide in Africa or something like that.
Yeah, right? And I guess, like, I had to look it up when it was over to see if it was a true story, because if it wasn't, it's... So, look at these really nice white people... Right. Saving these black people from other black people.
Right.
It's just, like, I don't know if that's an allegory, but that's, no, that's real just... garbage.
No, that's casting.
Yeah, that's, like, why? And then there's a scene in the beginning where...
What was the answer? Was it, did you Google it? Was it a true story?
It's based on something that happened to some Canadians in Colombia. Where, and then I saw that, and I was like, that's a better movie. Like, I want to watch that movie. Like, make these guys Canadians and put it in Colombia. Like, that's like, then you got, like, cartels and whatever, and, like, you have a whole lot to do with it. You don't just have evil, like, some, like, these rebels, Nigerian rebels, just slaughtering villages.
And then America, and then
there's, like, a dozen white guys and a doctor. A French doctor or whatever, all white. They're all white. There's one black guy in the troop with Bruce Willis, and he actually gives his approval, says Bruce Willis is doing a good thing for his people. Like, there's that scene that just is like, no, that's not good. What? Like, why? This is very bad.
Yeah.
All right.
Tears of the Sun.
And then they just walk around the woods, and there's I never could figure out why all those – why was a whole fucking army chasing – 10 American Navy SEALs and a French doctor and 20 refugees.
Right.
It was a whole fucking army. Because at the end, there's just so many more. Right. They just keep coming and coming and coming. And you're like, this seems like a lot of people. Like, you guys don't know how to run a revolution. What's happening in the capital city right now? All your troops are chasing these 40 people. Like, maniacs.
So, all right, DVD and Blu-rays, Ride Along 2. Now, these movies seem to go on DVD right after they're in the movie theater.
Yeah, man.
Like, I didn't see the first one. Did you see any of the Ride Along movies?
I saw the first Ride Along movie. It made me laugh a lot.
Really?
Okay, yeah. Cool.
Like, just as far as being funny goes, it was very funny. I am all in on Kevin Hart.
Right.
It's very
funny. I was mad that I missed Ride Along 2 in the theater. I wanted to see it.
He's doing Ride Along with The Rock next.
I can't wait for that movie, Central Intelligence movie. Yeah. That movie looks so hilarious. The Rock is like a nerd in school, and Kevin Hart's the cool guy. And then he had stopped growing in the sixth grade. So now The Rock is huge. Like, it's one of those things where, like, they have a kid play The Rock, but then, they do this super weird thing in the trailer where they, like, CGI the face onto another person's body.
That's weird.
Yeah, but they, like, look young. Like, it's kind of weirdly makes them look young, and it's, I don't think it's...
Yeah, with Captain America, the first one.
Played for real. Mm-hmm. I think it's played for... it's definitely played for gags. Everything's played for gags. Right. And it looks so funny.
All right.
Krampus, this movie I was kind of disappointed on. I was really excited to see it. I thought it would be, like, another kind of cool Christmas monstery movie, like a Gremlins or something, but it had a weird, really weird tone, and it fell apart a little bit.
I saw Gremlins for the first time last December.
Really?
Yeah. Wasn't allowed to watch it when I was a kid. When I got to the point where I would be allowed to watch it, I just kind of forgot.
Right.
And then I watched it last December, and probably should have seen it when I was a kid.
Yeah. It's one of those movies that's like, you see it kind of when you're younger, and it's like one of your first scary movies.
Yeah.
It's kind of like an intro to it. Seeing it first as an adult probably didn't have the same impact.
Well, the impact it had on me was, in a weird way, it reminded me of that movie, Funny People. Because Funny People had those three big storylines, and the only one that I found interesting at all was how did the Jason Schwartzman and Seth Rogen characters stay friends?
Oh, right.
When that guy gets a TV show, and the only reason, like, he's not a better comic or anything, he's just,
right.
You know, 90% of being on TV is that they have pictured someone, and then you walk in and you look like what they imagined.
Right.
And they go, this is what it looks like in my head. So that's what he was good at, was looking like what that guy thought that guy would look in his head. And Seth Rogen is just, like, he's a better comic, but they're roommates, and he's kind of a dick. Like, that's the story I wanted to see explored, and it was the one that was least touched on.
Right.
And Gremlins had a bunch of characters and whatever, and the most interesting one, and the one I want to see, I would watch 10 more movies about the mom.
Right.
Oh, right.
Like, what the fuck? That lady, like, those gremlins came out, and it seemed like she had been beaten down and under that dude's thumb, not physically or whatever, but, like, she had just kind of resigned herself to the super boring life of with her husband on the road trying to sell his fucking gizmos. And then the gremlins turn into monsters, and she turns into Sarah Connor.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, so there's no way she doesn't leave him.
Right.
When this is done, like, she goes and gets a haircut, gets a fancy new dress. She starts working out. Suddenly she's in a band or something, or she goes to the police academy. Like, she realizes she could be her own independent woman. Right. And that was the moment she killed all those gremlins in her kitchen, from then on, it should have just been about her.
Right.
Right.
Thelma and Louise by herself. Just fuck this. Turns out I was just bored. Thought I was sick for 7 years. Turns out I was bored.
So, and the last movie on DVD is
Speaking of a woman with a gun,
Jane Got a Gun. This is the Natalie Portman movie where
with Joel Edgerton.
Yeah, and defending her homestead.
This is I didn't hear anything about this movie. It was in the theater for like a minute.
It came and went.
It came. It had a $25 million budget. It made its opening weekend like $800,000. Right? So I don't know. Is it one of those movies where I'm curious actually? Because is it one of those movies where it was just awful and it was a mistake, and
no one saw it.
Or, yeah, they didn't market it correctly, and it's like, how did this not...
Well, I think we can say that there's a good chance it's, at the very least, it's both. You know what I mean? Because you didn't even hear about it.
Right.
So it for sure wasn't marketed correctly.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. You host a movie podcast. You should have known it was out.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I wouldn't blame yourself for not knowing it was out, but I don't know that... it's got... Here, I'm looking it up. It's got a 5.7 on IMDb.
Ian McGregor's in it, you know.
Yeah,
it's got some decent actors in it. So
it should be. Like, I wanted to see it. I do remember when it came out. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see it, and I can't.
This feels like something when I'm going to see it available somewhere on cable or Netflix.
It'll
or something.
Be on a plane.
Yeah, or on a plane, and I'm going to go. Oh, you know what? And I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
All right. So
that's why I just saw our brand is Crisis on a plane.
What was that like?
I'll tell you what. I loved it on a plane.
Oh, great.
Like, it's great for being on a plane. Like, I don't know. I don't know if I had gone to see it in the theater if I would have loved it, but
I'll tell you
the circumstances.
If it gets you through 2 hours of a plane ride,
if you've got
a
mediocre or a bad movie, you should somehow be able to enable comments and ratings only if people seeing it on a plane.
Right.
Like
oh,
all
yeah,
of a sudden
yeah.
everything
should
will
be
just
a plane
jump
rating.
Up. Yeah, there'll be a plane rating.
Like on Rotten Tomatoes. It should have the critic score, the user score,
and the plane
and the
rating.
Airplane score.
Yeah.
The airplane score is like, that was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if it gets something bad on an airplane, then it's so
it's
bad.
The
yeah,
worst it's movie that's ever
yeah,
been made.
Completely unwatchable.
Yeah, it's got 43% on Rotten Tomatoes as Jane Got a Gun, 40% user score.
All right.
Bleh.
So we want to talk about the site Spotlight real quick. Scruggulous gives us an update on Freddie Prinze Jr.'s career. So if you're curious, check it out.
We were talking about him in the last episode. Yeah. Wondering what happened to Freddie Prinze Jr. Because he kind of... All right.
Check it out.
Go check it out.
On the message boards if you were curious.
I just saw a commercial that he was in.
Oh. Okay.
For what?
I don't know if it's in Scruggulous's update.
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil anything.
Oh, all right. Okay.
So, and as you guys, I'm sure, know, it is the last week of my Kickstarter. It will be over on Monday night, and it's going really well. Really appreciate the support. We're only a couple thousand away, but still, there's still a couple thousand to go, about 3,000 to 4,000 left. So, really need your help and support to get to the end. It's long ago and far away on Kickstarter. Now, we've been reading the comments, but I'm going to start with a comment from someone who emailed and is not a listener of the show.
Oh, fantastic.
Colleen sent an email and said, "I like the look of the project, but not the tone of the comments. Were these offensive comments really encouraged by you?"
Oh, God. This is why I love the internet. When someone just misses the joke.
Yeah, and just stumbles across it. I'm like, what's going on?
So, Jeff, to bring you up to speed, we've been telling fans that when you donate to his Kickstarter, first we said say fuck, then we said say fuck stick. Or,
and then cockwagon.
Cockwagon. So people are like, this looks awesome. Cockwagon or whatever, and there's all these jokes. So then this poor Colleen was like, oh, what an angry group of Kickstarter backers.
I was laughing out loud when I read that.
Where do you think she came across you? Like, does she
browsing on Kickstarter? Right. Like, so she just novels, whatever.
She's just window shopping,
scrolling through Kickstarter, yeah. seeing what she could support. Well, that's nice of her.
Yeah.
Thank you, Colleen. Yeah. You're adorable.
Yeah. And then hit the comment. I'm like, oh, there's a lot of comments here. Let me check this out.
Why are only angry people giving money to this thing?
Yeah, Colleen. It seems like it. I feel like you might be a little repressed.
Yeah.
Like maybe you should go ahead and leave some money. And then also type in cockwagon?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you should start fighting gremlins and leave whatever man that's keeping you down. Yep.
Get out of there. You don't even have to fight gremlins, Colleen. If this is how he has you living, it's just a second life. Yeah, cut and run. You're allowed.
And have some hot sex where you're screaming bad words.
Yeah, do something you don't even want to do.
Yeah. Just
right,
like,
get real weird with it.
Yeah, ride a dude and just be like, yeah, you cockwagon. You know what I mean? Like, really.
And then leave it on the comments.
Leave it on the comments, of course.
Yeah, so, instead of thinking all that shit, you probably think about your dumb husband. Why don't you say it out loud to some new guy?
Yeah.
The other thing we said, too, is to try to put it in a movie reference. So some people did all three.
Real quick, hashtag Colleen's cockwagon.
Maggie B, as per your request, I jumped on the cockwagon to help out. Good luck. Greg B, fuck yeah, I'm on the cockwagon. It's full of kitten hands and bright yellow palm strike shirts, just like home.
God bless you, sir. I'm going to send you a vase.
John, I really have to work cockwagon into a movie reference? Fine. Cockwagon, starring John Wayne, is the rim job kid. Claire Trevor is Dale Ass, and Andy Devine is a guy named Buck that's here to fuck. Boom. Two movie reference and an F-bomb. Palm strike, mic drop.
That's the one I wish I had a hidden camera on Colleen when she read that one. I'm like, what is going on? Why is he angry at the Duke?
Wasn't Gary Cooper in Stagecock?
And the sequel, Stagecock Wagon.
I think we're getting to the comment that caused her to.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Okay.
Evan Crawford. All the other fucksticks comments inspired me to back this project just to be able to say fuckstick. Rochelle, I think this is the one that made her email.
Okay.
Probably a bit late, but salutations from Australia. In honor of the douche canoes that keep on knocking your genius down, I give you this very Australian insult. Well, aren't you just a lovely shade of cunt today?
Well, thank you from down under. God bless you.
And then there's a disclaimer. This one gets better. I realize this word is taboo in your nation, but here we use it like punctuation.
Yeah, I know. Granted, in America, that word makes us act like cunts.
Yeah. Matt Lantrip, backer 290. Very excited to read this cockwagon of a book and interested in how much talent these fucksticks who made it really have. Glad to help out.
I could listen to these all day.
Joshua Hammock, point of fecking order, my dear friends. I have pledged duty to this project and earbuds. By my reckoning, I am nor or will not ever be a shitcock. I will endeavor to never be inconsiderate or rude, so pledge and be not a quivering quim.
Wow. That was a great proclamation, friend.
And Dan McElroy, this is the cockwagon that CFN needs, not the fuckstick it deserves.
That was great. That's a Dark Knight Rises reference.
Jeff T. Hall. This has got to be better, fucking better than Chris's appearance on DLM. Perform like a real cockwagon. Who the fuck am I kidding? He's amazeballs, even though he loves the word nuance a little bit too much. fair enough. Guilty as charged.
Oh, allegory and nuance. Maybe Chris should dial those back a little bit.
Seriously,
Someone's got to take care of the nerds part of the comedy nerds.
Seriously, though, very proud of you and your fellow cockwagon, Graham. Love from Nashville, Jeff. Mark Stockslager. If we can't fund this campaign, then we're all a bunch of cockwagons. Yeah. Let's go. Charlene Bronsel-Long. This reminds me of the time I drove my cock wagon down to Tombstone. I had my princess bride by my side. As we traveled through the No Country of Old Men whilst drinking milk, I had a dancer in the dark approach me on that dog day afternoon. She said, "The Dark Knight Rises out of Cloverfield." These two clerks told me, so I can't hardly wait until the world's end. We figured she was just clueless and bid her good night and good luck. 28 days later, we made it, and Wyatt Earp got us a brew at Beer Fest. It was just Pleasantville.
That's fucking great. Yeah, that was 20-some movies, I think.
Took some time.
That was nice. That was nice work. Time.
What kind of maniac drinks milk in the car in Arizona?
David Ellerbrook. Well, here's
nice cold milk in the desert.
David Ellerbrook. Well, here's my fucking money, you fucks. Nate Schomer. Normally, I don't swear, but I'll make a fucking exception for this. This book looks really funny, and I love your podcast. I'm very excited to see this book in earbuds. On a random note, what do you think of that John Candy movie, Cockwagons East?
It was his last movie. It was really good.
Yeah. Robert Salisbury. Fuck, I can't wait to read about this fuckstick and his cockwagon adventure. Aaron Brungart, our intern. Assistant. Get Busy Living or Get Busy Dying, fuckstick.
Oh, nice.
Andy Dufresne, The Shawshank Redemption.
Nice.
And the last one, Matt Trieste. Much better use of my money than seeing Batman versus Superman, consarn it. Old-timey swears count too, right? So,
nice.
Now, since this is the last week, you guys, there's still a week to put wonderful comments and finish the Kickstarter. We will still read them next week. One more. And then I want to make it harder because you guys are so good at this. I want you guys to tell me a story about a character named Robespierre McCockwagon. You can spell it any way you like. Robespierre McCockwagon may be your mayor. He may be your friend. He may be your mortal enemy. But why is he involved in the story that made you to donate to the campaign? Oh. So tell me a story.
Maybe work in Colleen as the hero somehow.
Colleen.
Yeah, so she goes back and sees the comments. She gets to be the hero of a bunch of these
Robespierre cockwagon
stories. These very offensive stories to her.
So
Colleen is the hero of the Robespierre cockwagon stories.
So tell us, or if you want to use any of the other rules too, we won't limit you to the story about Robespierre cockwagon. If you just want to curse, that's fine.
Sure.
It can be a free for all the next
hashtag Colleen's cockwagon.
I like the idea that people would be like, I was going to donate money, but I really don't like typing swears.
Yeah.
That's what held me off.
You could do old-timey swears, too. Like the last, you could say consarn it. That's fine as well.
If there's some swears that are native to your country?
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Absolutely. And if there's, say, you want to put a bleep in, that is fine as well.
Sure.
So I really appreciate it, guys. There are so 6 days left, and this is really fun. Give us one more week to read these. And we'll see you next week. Thanks again. And we're very close, so help get us to the end. Long Ago and Far Away on Kickstarter.
All right. Premiering this week, Keanu. This is the Key and Peele movie. I'm excited to see it. I think these guys are funny.
I thought that the Key and Peele were actually in the movie, but it looks like it really is just cats in the film. Like, the trailer is just cats. Like, I'm not sure if that's kind of like a joke trailer or...
I think you saw a joke trailer.
I think it's a joke trailer.
Yeah, because some of the other...
They are in it for sure.
Yeah, a bunch of the other trailers.
I think it's hilarious that they made a movie where they have to save the cat.
Right.
Like, that's fucking hilarious. They might as well, like, if the cat had been named MacGuffin.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
They just one step further.
So, I mean, I love those guys. Key and Peele are really funny.
And I think that that's so funny that they just went, okay, we just need a thin premise to do all of our sketches.
But it's almost like...
Go for it.
It's like a super meta joke for, like, screenwriters.
Right.
Like not even super meta. It's not even really that meta, but
it definitely tricked me. I thought I saw the fake cat trailer where everyone's a cat. It made me laugh.
I wasn't even counting Keanu. There's a chance three of my top five favorite movies are coming out in the next 5 months.
Well, there you go.
The director is Peter Atencio, who actually has directed a bunch of episodes, obviously, like 54 right. episodes of their show. And so I'm like, that makes me like, okay, they did a new movie. They wrote it. They got their guy directing it. They know what they're doing. Like, let's let them go, man. I'm excited to see these guys in the
trailer. The trailer looks so funny.
These guys, I love what they do. So it's going to be, I'm excited to see it.
Can you guess what that other movie is going to be? What are my other three favorite?
Yeah, what is it?
Mother's Day.
No. You can't guess?
No.
The Nice Guys.
Oh, Jeff Tate.
You know, it's good getting a contrary opinion on the show every once in a while.
We need all different types of
you. You don't think that movie looks amazing?
No, I can't use that word with that movie. Uh-uh.
Why?
Because I don't think it looks amazing.
Yeah.
Shane Black has only written and directed one other movie that was not based on Iron Man.
It doesn't look nuanced enough to me.
Oh, good lord.
Enough, Chris. Well,
it's a total Jesus Christ allegory.
The next movie, of course, Mother's Day.
Gary Marshall. What holidays do we got coming up next, buddy? He's done New Year's Eve. He's done Valentine's Day. Now we got Mother's Day.
You know, you're going to work every year as long as there's a holiday.
That poster is like...
Is he the guy that made Independence Day?
The movie poster for this is the whitest... Like, it's a movie poster for a white, all-white rom-com from 1982. Oh, God.
Yeah. Well, they're not even making new posters for these movies.
No.
They have a template where they just switch out actor faces.
It's some weird graphic search and replace.
Yeah.
You know, you hit, okay, put this...
these posters have no nuance.
They might not have even... Like, I'm pretty sure the three people on the poster for Mother's Day were on the poster for Valentine's Day.
Right. Oh, of course.
Was the other one New Year's Eve? Like, they were at least in...
Sure.
Those. At least one of them. And it's like, what? It's like, so all they had to do was change Julia Roberts' haircut?
Right. Or how many times, all right, take out Meg Ryan, put Anna Kendrick in.
Right, exactly.
they did that 12 years ago.
And the next movie is Ratchet and Clank. This is a an animated movie based on the video game that came out a number of years ago, and it actually looks really fun. It's the video game was fun. It was kind of like
it sounds like a fake TV show on The Simpsons.
It definitely does.
It sounds like a bunch of noises you'd hear from Tim Allen's garage.
Basically, it's an alien and a robot that have big, giant, weird, crazy guns and go around and fight stuff in the universe. But it's got like a good sense of humor to it, so it's really like, you know, there's guns that turn people into sheep. But it's like this. It hits that weird kind of that vibe where kids are interested, but there's also like some adult humor in it, like the games were. So I'm actually looking forward to it because I enjoyed the games, and my kids are excited because they know the games and they want to see it. So I'm hoping to do a decent job with the movie. Like, it's one of those movies, it doesn't have to be amazing. It just has to, like, kind of be good enough to, like, at least make the video game fans happy. So I'm hoping it at least gets to that that threshold. So we'll see. We'll be seeing it this
weekend.
Well,
that's a pretty low bar. Those video game fans are real. They're real inclusive.
Yeah. But I'm hoping it's good because the games are always fun and funny. So I'm hoping that translates to a fun movie.
All right. I keep hearing like a 70s cop chief, like, Ratchet Clank, get in here. Like, that's what.
Which one's black?
Yeah.
There's always the one that's black.
Sure, it's probably Ratchet.
You know, there's no buddy... Is there a buddy cop movie where it's a dude and a lady other than the third Dirty Harry, where she was just there to teach Dirty Harry that women are also police officers?
Yeah. Tyne Daly?
Yeah. And then he doesn't respect her until she dies.
Yeah, and then she dies, then he respects her.
He's like, no, I gotta go do this for you. If he had just not been a dickhead the first... 80 minutes of this movie, she might still be alive.
Yeah, way to go, Harry.
Fuck stick. You fucking Clint wagon.
That's our show.
That is. We covered a lot of ground.
We banged through a lot of movies today. Yeah. I want to throw in one last movie.
Yes.
I know it's a little weird, it's out of nowhere, but the movie Diner, because Paul Reiser uses the word nuance quite well.
Really?
Yes. That's a great scene. He goes, you know what word I'm... He's driving with Mickey Rourke, and he goes, you know what word I'm not comfortable with? Nuance. And then he's talking about another word. You always knew where you stood with this other word. Mickey Rourke is just looking at him like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Then you go back, you find out that was all ad-libbed. Mickey Rourke really doesn't know what that means. He didn't. No one knew they were rolling.
I doubt it.
I just saw a movie called A Night in Old Mexico with Robert Duvall and some kid, and that movie was super fun. Like, right. I dug that movie. It's one of them Robert Duvall old guy limited release movies, but it's on Netflix, and it was good.
Sweet.
Okay. All right.
I like it. We've covered
a lot of movies
in this episode, which I like.
And we're not done yet.
No, because
I mean, when the show's over, we have. I need more. to berate you into liking Night Guts.
All right, that's our episode. Jeff Tate, where can people see you perform live? What do you got going? Don't you have a podcast as well?
I do. I do. It's my podcast takes many forms. It's called Jeff Tate's Mash Podcasto right now.
Mm-hmm.
It was called Afternoon Everybody, but I couldn't make Cheers episodes all the time. So some of the episodes are about Cheers. Some of them are. I have like four or five different kinds in the feed. Mm-hmm. And then justanotherclown.com is my website. I will be in Portland, Oregon, May 11th.
The night before I am. The 12th. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so May 11th, that Wednesday. So you could see me and Graham consecutively, or you can choose which one you want to see.
Come to both.
No, this is good. Like, I'm sure I'll be able to poach a lot of people who are like, they listen to your podcast, but they're like, if I can only see one, please see both. I'm sure we could work out some kind of deal.
And your Twitter handle?
Jeff Tate 96, GEOFFTATE 96. And just in general, I like to support an organization called SpeakYourSilence.org. It's a nonprofit that provides pro bono counseling to the adult survivors of child sex abuse and child abuse. So if you need someone to talk to, hit them up. If you know someone, hit them up. And if you just want to donate some money, they do a good job.
Don't you donate one of your albums to? Haven't you?
No, I have. Like, I got shirts on my website that is like a click through link to another website called Zip Zoo Apparel.
And the money from that you give.
The money from those shirts goes to that organization also.
Give their website again.
Zip Zoo Apparel.
Okay.
Is where you can get my shirts, hot dogs and Gatorade, denim on denim, and the new shirt that has my name in like the Strokes logo.
Right.
You can buy those shirts there. They're good shirts. And the money that I make from those shirts, my cut, goes to speakyoursilence.org.
Nice. Thanks, Jeff. As Jeff said, I will be, I'm headlining Helium Comedy Club May 12th in beautiful Portland, Oregon. Great club. Jeff's there May 11th.
Are you doing AM Northwest?
Probably.
I'm doing it that morning, morning of the 11th.
Oh, nice. I fly in on the 12th, and I was like, I couldn't do it.
Seems dumb to do it after, but it's still fun.
I've always done that. I love that show. And Dave Anderson, one of the hosts, passed away. He battled, I think, pancreatic cancer, and he passed away earlier this year, which was kind of a bummer. So
we did it last year.
Yeah, we did it last year to promote to the Prop 90 thing, or maybe it was a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm doing that. I'm at May 6th and 7th. I'm at the Zanies in St. Charles, and of course May 9th, doing episode 2 of Pop Divas at the Lab at the Hollywood Improv. That's a 6 o'clock show. That's free. And I will be releasing episode 1 of Pop Divas this week. And then May 22nd, I am headlining the Irvine Improv with Steve Gillespie, who...
he was on Conan last night.
Just on Conan last night. I was hanging out watching him. I've known him and his brothers for a long time.
Yeah?
Steve will be on an upcoming episode. So
great.
If you're in any of those cities, come and support it. GrahamElwood.com, of course.
I love Steve Gillespie.
He's open for me so much. I've had so much fun with him on the road, and watching him last night do Conan was so cool.
Did you go with him to Conan?
No, I wasn't at the taping, but we all went to a bar and watched the East Coast feed at 8 o'clock.
Oh, fantastic.
And then Jen Kirkman was on it, and I tweeted about that. I was like, Jen Kirkman was plugging her book. It was really cool.
Oh, very cool.
I love Conan. Mm-hmm. He has awesome people on his show, man.
Yeah.
He has really great people on his show.
All right.
That's
well,
it?
Yeah, that is our show. A couple new things in the store. Just so you guys know, we have a new Dana Gould shirt, and then we'll be putting a couple other new things as well. We'll be getting a new design for Thrilling Adventure Hour in another week or so. So,
and as we say, you know, spend $20 with us once a year. That helps us keep the doors open. If you're debating on where to spend your 20 right now, if you haven't, do Chris's Kickstarter.
Appreciate it.
Help support
yes.
that, because that'll be a cool book when it's done that we'll sell in the store and
yes.
everything else. We'll mm-hmm. do cool stuff with that. So,
I had to read all those Narnia books in the fourth grade, and I can't wait to find out what they're up to now. Edmund's got to be real fucked up.
He's not right.
That's the premise of the comic.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I didn't guess it.
I know.
He was actually listening to your pitch, Chris.
What? Oh, my gosh.
No, I heard it on DLM.
Oh, that's right.
I heard the pitch on DLM.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Jeff Tate.
Yeah, finally.
Come on.
Thanks for coming on.
We went to see Cowboys versus Aliens.
Yes.
And then we didn't even make an episode out of it.
I know.
We just had to sit through that thing that I liked.
We didn't record. I guess we didn't.
No, we didn't. We wasted a great opportunity.
Yeah. It's been haunting me ever since.
It's hung over this show like a cloud.
Sounds like a lot of you have been there.
Yes. All right. My name is Graham Elwin.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember, Han shot first.
Nuance.